And let's begin with a word of prayer. We're continuing in the vein that we started last week, the message of the Spirit of Faith. So this will be the Spirit of Faith part two. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit leading us into deeper waters, leading us, as you did Peter, to walk on water with you, Lord, that we can experience the supernatural, that we can have a supernatural life full of victory, power, and overcoming. For you said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we rejoice in it today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jude, verse 3. I'm going to read it in my favorite translation, the NIV from 1984. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend. Say contend. Contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. We said last week that this word contend is actually a term that was used in the Greek world at that time in the wrestling world. And it was carried a very strong message of the idea of an intense struggle. In fact, the Greek translation for the word is where we get our word agonize. Say agonize. And when Jude says here, listen, if you're going to walk in faith, you might have some agonizing to do. He wasn't kidding, was he? One or two of you are in faith. The rest, I'm not sure where you are. He was telling us the truth when he said, listen, if you're going to live a life of faith, it's going to involve some agony.
Yes.
Does it not?
Amen.
You know, every time I feel that struggle of faith in my life, I remember this. Jesus agonized for me. And I'll tell him sometimes from my mouth, Lord, I'll gladly agonize and work my way through this to victory because you agonized for me. Amen. And it's the faith life is going to be a fight. And I think it's important for you from the onset to know that. I heard a story years ago of a guy who was in one of these prison cells in Vietnam. Vietnam. And he was captured. He was one of the American pilots or military guys. And there were other guys in the cells around him. And they would ask him, they would say, Captain, or whatever his rank was, do you think we'll be out by Christmas? Do you think they'll release us by Christmas time? And, you know, he really, really, he had a very level head about it. And he couldn't say. He wouldn't give him an empty promise. And he'd tell him, no, that's just not realistic. But the guys, he said later that the guys that believed they would be out in just such a short time, they actually died from hopeless despair because, they were in it for a long haul. And the Viet Cong were ruthless. They kept these people. In fact, you know, there's suspicion that maybe some of our prisoners are over there to this day. But this guy was realistic and he said, I'm not going to make an empty promise because the guys who fell through with an empty promise, their hearts broke and they literally died in prison. Well, I say that to say this. Listen, it's not right for someone to tell you the Christian life is just going to be a bed of roses. You know, you come to Jesus and it's just going to be peachy, peachy. I mean, there are peaches along the way, but there's going to be some fight for those peach trees. Amen? Because the devil hates faith. Faith honors God. Faith has to do with, do we believe what God said? And what was the very first thing Satan tempted Adam and Eve with? Did God really say? Who is God to make promises like that to you? He threw a slur on the very promise of God. It's a fight. It's a clash. It's combat. Amen. And if you're a man in here, guys naturally like a little fight. So I want to tell you something. There's no more exciting life than the Christian life. Amen. To really walk this out in faith. You want a good challenge, guys? Step out in faith. Follow Jesus in faith. And you'll find a good challenge on your hands, a good fight, a little bit of combat, and maybe a bloody lip now and then. But we win, amen?
Yeah.
It's worth giving it our all because Jesus gave us his all. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Well, contending, we said, involves confessing. Confessing because Jesus designed our mouth to be like his mouth. What is his mouth? In the book of Revelation, at the very end of the story, it says, with the sword of his mouth, he destroys his enemies. Amen. Well, Jesus had a sword in his mouth. He designed his church to operate with a sword in our mouth. Amen. Our mouth is meant to do its duty, and that involves confessing. Faith, in order to be effective, has to be in two places. Number one, it resides in our heart, but it must also be in our mouth. Amen. And I've used this illustration before. If you're a police officer and you've got a gun in your holster, but you never pulled the trigger, you're not going to stop crime in certain situations. Amen. You've got to pull the trigger. You've got to release that sword, that firing, if you will, of the weapon. And that is what causes faith to be effective in this life. Amen. You've got to use your mouth. You've got to confess. You've got to speak. Look at Luke 17. Turn over to Luke 17. Jesus talked about this when his disciples came to him and said, Lord, would you please increase our faith? Sounds like a real nice religious prayer, doesn't it? Would you make us more holy? Would you give us greater faith, Jesus? It sounds like a really, really noble prayer. But Jesus, you know, Jesus sees right through facades. Jesus sees right through shallow requests and requests that really have no depth of meaning. And here's what he said in Luke 17. Look at it with me there in verse 5. The apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith, Lord. And the Lord said, if you had faith, if. Wow, that's a rough start, isn't it? If you guys had anything to start with. Now, he wasn't being ugly with them. He was just telling them the truth. Jesus isn't ugly. He just tells the truth, right? But he said this, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know how tiny that is? I wish I had my tie tack from about 1972. I told you about it last weekend, didn't I? My mom bought me a little tie tack. When I was a little boy, I'd wear a tie to church, and the tie tack holds your tie to keep it from flopping left and right, right? And so I had a little tie tack. It had a bubble, and inside the bubble was a mustard seed, right? And it was from this verse. You know, the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Oh, you brought some. Thank you. There you go, right there. I wish I had a way to put that up on the screen. You can see they're like, man, that's like bird feed or, you know, bird seed. I mean, that's tiny pebbles right there. Thank you, Marianne. Yeah. Did you get that out of your tie tack? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Thank you. That's a tiny little mustard seed there. Thank you. Yeah. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It would obey you. So Jesus said, if you had mustard seed speaking, you would see results. In other words, it's not the faith in our heart that's limiting us, saints. It's the fact that we just don't open our mouth and say something with it. You want more faith? Use what you got.
Amen.
Used to be a song that we sung again in the 70s. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Y'all remember that one? A few of you. Yeah, old timers. Yep. I'm a old timer. Okay, I'm there. Praise the Lord. Listen, what happens is as you use what you got, the song said, you don't need a whole lot, just use what you got, right? So you speak your faith. You speak what's there. And what happens is your ears hear it and your heart believes it a little more. And you speak it again. Why? Because you're speaking from a greater level of faith the second time and your ears hear it again and your heart believes it a little more. And you speak it a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time. And what happens is faith is growing in your heart because your ears are hearing it. You're speaking it. You're exercising that muscle. And what happens is eventually that mountain will move. Amen? I like a quote Jake shared the other night. He did a great job Wednesday night teaching us. And he said this, we don't get to choose when our words carry meaning. You know, that's like a knife that cuts with both ways. You can say good things, it's going to carry meaning. You can say bad things about yourself, and guess what? It's going to carry meaning. Because the Bible says that the power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. It doesn't mean there's two kinds of people. People who only speak life and people who only speak death. It meant, unfortunately, and James the Apostle confirmed this as well. He said, from the same fountain flows salt water and fresh water. It shouldn't be. Right? So what we're talking about here in confessing, in speaking our faith, is getting rid of that which has held us back. Right? Because all words have meaning. All words have impact, whether they're good or bad, that we speak out of our heart. You speak words of doubt, it's going to harm you. You speak words of faith, it's going to help you. You know, if a top is spinning furiously, it's kind of a hard word to say early in the morning, furious, if it's spinning fast, and you want to, it's spinning the wrong way, what have you got to do? You've got to kill that momentum. Before you can, you know, otherwise you'll break the thing. You try to stop it and suddenly you've got, that thing has to unwind its direction and then you got to turn it the other direction. So many of us in our lives, we are saying negative things about ourselves. We're our own worst enemy. And we're spinning the top. We're getting the top spinning the wrong direction. And it's our words. You know, you can blame the devil all day long, but if you're speaking negative about yourself or your circumstance, you're actually helping the devil. Thank you, Mr. Devil. Come on in. I'll help you. Ruin my life. That's what we're doing in essence when we say the wrong things about the situation. We've got to stop that momentum by saying the right things and reverse it and get the momentum working the other direction. Amen? That's the goal here. Praise the Lord. We got to stop the top. Well, you know, the name of our church is what?
Believers,
Believers Fellowship, not doubters. There's a good slogan that says believers are receivers.
Amen.
Doubters are what? Do withouters. Believers are receivers. Doubters are do withouters. Listen, God doesn't play favorites. He's put laws in place, and you can work those laws for good. You can work them in your own favor, or you can work them to your detriment. Believers are receivers. Doubters are do withouters. We showed you last week in Mark 10 how Jesus was leaving Jericho. And the Bible actually says in the King James, it says he was walking along and there was a blind beggar there. Remember Bartimaeus? And it's interesting, in the King James Version, it says he was on the highway. So I picture this, that Jesus was actually starting to step on the throttle a little bit as he left Jericho. He's moving along. Maybe the Holy Spirit hadn't revealed to him yet exactly why he's walking that particular path. Right? You know, we know Jesus was led by the Spirit. He didn't have all the answers all the time until the Holy Spirit released it to him. Why? Because he lived as a human, limited by human limitations. Amen? Even though he was the Son of God. And so I believe there was a moment in which the Holy Spirit said, someone needs to be healed today. That's called a word of knowledge. But in the meantime, he is doing like any of us would have done. You know, hey, we've walked through town, the crowd's following us, but now we're ready to get on to our next stop. And the Bible says he's walking along and there was a man begging on the highway. So, you know, Jesus is starting to, in a sense, hit the throttle. He's starting to hit the accelerator, like, let's go on to our next stop. And this guy starts crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus has already hit the throttle. He's on the highway. He's going on to his next appointment. But the Bible says that man stopped him in his tracks. What was it that stopped Jesus? Faith. Faith stops Jesus. Aren't you glad? God doesn't play favorites. The Bible says he's no respecter of person. I want to give you some scripture reference for that. Acts 10:34, Romans 2:11, if you're taking notes, Ephesians 6:9, Colossians 3:25. There's four places right there that confirm that God, out of the mouth of four witnesses, God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34, Romans 2:11, Ephesians 6:9, Colossians 3:25. He does not respect people, but what does he respect?
Faith.
And as Bartimaeus called out to Jesus, Son of David, what does that mean? You're tied into the promises. Because the promises said that the offspring of David would be the Messiah. So when he called Jesus the Son of David, have mercy on me, he was saying, you're the Messiah. You've got the power. You can help me in this situation. Amen? Listen, when we call on Jesus, it's not a burden to him. It's a blessing. When you call out to Jesus, you're honoring him because he is the one who has the answers.
Amen.
He is the one who has the power to change your situation. It's an honor to him. In fact, one of the words used in the Bible in biblical language, it said Hosanna. You ever heard that word, Hosanna? The word Hosanna means, oh, save, or come and save. And if you look at the definition of it, it'll always mention this idea that it was an exclamation of praise. Why? Because when you say, you rescue me, you're honoring that person. You're acknowledging they have greater power than you do. You're acknowledging they have what you need in the situation. That's an honor to the one you're crying out for. When you say, Hosanna, Jesus, come and save me, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's a respecter of faith. Well, let's find out a little bit more about this kind of faith that pleases Jesus, that stops Jesus in his tracks, if you will. Would you turn over to Romans chapter 4? Romans chapter 4 in your Bibles. And we're going to begin reading in verse 17 of Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, this is a biblical pattern, a biblical definition of faith, Abraham's faith. The Bible refers to Abraham as the father of us all. Amen. He's called the father of faith. Kids church, they teach you this little song. I never understood it. Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. We got to swing our arms. We got to swing our feet. I don't know why, but that's what they taught us. But he is the father of us all. Amen. He's the father of our faith. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. God's speaking, and God always speaks in terms of faith. He sees the end from the beginning, and he says, I've already done this, Abraham. And Abraham's standing there going, Lord, I don't have one child. And God says, I've made you. Why? Because God sees the end from the beginning. That's how faith talks. I've made you. Amen. I've made you the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You can put that on my tombstone when I leave this planet. That's the scripture right there for me. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen. Let's go back and look at these verses real close. I want you to see some bullet points of what God kind of faith looks like. Number one, in verse 17 there, it says, Abraham believed, right? And we already said that when you have faith, you are honoring the one who can supply you with that need. Number two, it says he called those things. The God who calls those things that be not as though they were. This is what faith looks like, saints. Faith calls those things that be not as though they are, before they are. So you say, my body is healed by the stripes of Jesus, before you feel the healing.
Amen.
Before you see the healing. That's what faith does. Faith calls those things that be not as though they already are. Now, don't get confused by that. It's not the reverse. Faith does not call those things which are as though they are not. If you fall out of a tree and break your leg, you've got a broken leg. Don't be in denial. You've got a broken leg. So faith is not denying what is. It's not calling those things which are as if they're not. It's calling those things which be not. In other words, it's looking to the supply, not the circumstance. Are you with me? Faith looks at the supply and speaks the supply. Amen? I shared with you last week how there was a season in my life where I just got tired of going out to the mailbox and always bringing in stuff that people wanted my money. And I said to Terry one day, I said, you know, there's going to come a day when that little phrase, the check's in the mail, that's going to be for us. And there's going to be checks that come into the mail for us instead of people asking us for our money. And you know what? As I began to confess that and believe that in my heart, there came a season in my life. I was selling some music CDs at the time, and people began ordering, because this is before, you know, everybody was using online ordering and stuff. So people actually had to send you a physical check in the mail. That's going back a ways. And there came a season in my life where checks started coming in the mail for me. Why? Because I spoke it in faith. Mm-hmm. I was just, you know, gullible enough to believe God could do it. And he did it. You say, well, Pastor, that's really carnal. Not when you're broke, it's not. It's real spiritual, actually. I had a spiritual inspiration. I need money. And God sent the money, praise God. Because I called those things that be not as though they are. Listen, if you got a problem, it's time to call. It's time to call. You know, you got debtors knocking at your door, it's time to call. What do? You find some promises in this book that talk about God's provision for you financially. Philippians 4:19 is a great place to start. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you say, my God has supplied all my needs. You're not waiting for God to do it. He's already done it. Did you know that?
Yes.
There's another verse that says that through his poverty, this is on our confession list right now for Terry and I, we're going through a season where we're just moving forward in some things financially, and we're upping our calling. And we're calling that scripture that says, for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich.
Amen.
And we say it like this: through your poverty, Jesus, we have been made rich. Whether we see it manifest or not, whether we see it as we want it to be or not, we call it because it is so. Amen. How many of you know everything that was done at the cross is a finished work?
Right.
You're not waiting for God to heal you. He healed you at Calvary.
Amen.
You're not waiting for God to bless you. He blessed you at Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. Just as when we got saved, what did you do? You didn't have to ask God to forgive you, because technically at Calvary, he forgave you. Right?
Yep.
Now, you know, I'm not getting technical on how we have someone pray the sinner's prayer, but truthfully, God has already forgiven us because of Jesus' sake at Calvary. When you got saved, you just acknowledged, I believe that Jesus' sacrifice has washed my sins away.
Yeah.
and that God raised him from the dead for my justification. You believed. You put your faith in something that was already done. I didn't say this earlier, but I want to say it now. The faith that got you saved, it's the same faith. The kingdom principle of faith works for anything. Right? You need your children to behave? Apply faith. You need checks in the mail to you? Apply faith. You need your body made whole? Apply faith. Listen, faith is huge in the kingdom. That's why Satan hates it and fights it so strongly. And even attacks it through religious people. Oh, those faith people. Don't do that. Blabbing and grabbing stuff, those confessing Christians. Listen, you better be a confessing Christian. You want to walk in victory, you better open your mouth. Because Jude told us, you're going to have to contend for the faith. Jude, in a sense, was saying, listen, I wanted to sit down and just us talk about how great this salvation was. And I realized there's people out there that are struggling to actually taste the salvation. Therefore, he says, I write to tell you, you must contend earnestly. Say earnestly. We don't like earnestly in America. We like instant. Right? That's why we invented the microwave. We like it now. We want our food hot now. I remember our first microwave. I can't tell you how long it would have taken to heat up a bowl of oatmeal on our first microwave. I don't know. Maybe 5 whole minutes. A long time. But in today's world, the microwaves are so much more powerful. Why? Because here in America, we like it now. But Jude said, you're going to have to contend earnestly. Say earnestly again. Earnestly. I want to drill that home, as you can see. What does that mean? We give up too easily. We give up far too easily. Okay, verse 18. Verse 18. In hope, if you'll put that up there for me, please. Against hope, Abraham believed in hope. Say he believed in hope.
Believe in hope.
Listen, if you feel like you're against all hope is against you. Guess what? You're in a great place. You've been given an opportunity to exercise faith, because this is what Abraham did. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Amen. If you're in a situation that you say there's absolutely no hope for this circumstance, you're actually in a great opportunity for God who raises the dead. Amen. God loves those kind of circumstances because that's where he can shine the most. Amen. Let's go to the next point. Verse 19, he said this. I almost forgot this point. He quickens the dead. You see it there in verse 18? He quickens the dead. He quickens the dead. Say, God quickens the dead. Amen. If your situation looks dead to you, excellent. It's time for a resurrection. Amen. God can do amazing resurrections. Verse 19, he is not weak in faith. Say, not weak in faith.
Not weak in faith.
Yeah, Abraham kind of faith means we're not weak in it, we're strong in it. Amen. And here's how you'd be strong in faith. Verse 19. He considered not his own body or his circumstances. Abraham considered not his circumstances. The scripture says, neither the circumstances of his wife Sarah. You know, there are times that we look and we say, well, you know, so-and-so, they did that faith thing and it didn't work for them. Right? You ever known somebody say that? You know, so-and-so believed for a miracle and they didn't get it. Well, that's not what Abraham did. Abraham didn't look and say, well, Sarah's not getting what she needs to get so we can have a child. He didn't look at her circumstance and he didn't look at his own. Because faith does not consider your own circumstance or the circumstances of others around you. It just believes. Say, it just believes. That's what faith does. Now, verse 20. He staggered not. He staggered not. Let me say this too about considering not your own body. Many times, because healing's a big one for us. When we're challenged with a sickness in our body, you know, Abraham considered not his own body. Your body is meant to receive counsel from the scriptures, not give you counsel. That's good. It's not original, but it's great. Your body is meant to receive counsel, not give you counsel. Your body will talk to you. Your body will tell you, I'm in pain. I'm hurting here. We got problems. Houston, we got problems. But listen, you don't take counsel from your body. You take counsel from the Word of God.
That's right.
You take counsel from what God said about your body. And what did he say? By Jesus' stripes, you have been healed.
Yes.
It's a done reality in the kingdom. Amen? We take counsel from the Word, not from our body. Okay, where were we at? Verse 20, stagger not. He staggered not at the promise of God. Listen, staggering has to do with taking 2 steps forward and 1 step back. You know, the unbelief shuffle. 1, 2, back. 1, 2, back. That's staggering in our faith. And Abraham didn't do that. The Bible says he got to a point in which he wasn't going 1, 2, back. 1, 2, back. He wasn't doing the unbelief shuffle any longer. He was moving ahead strong, strong, strong. Amen. That's what God has for us. And finally, he gave glory to God. He gave glory to God. What happens when we believe? We are actually giving glory to the one who made the promise. Amen. See, it's not just about you. The reason why you and I need to push through and get the victory in our health, our finances, our family, it's not just about you. Because when you lay hold of the promise in faith, it gives glory to God. Say amen. It gives glory to God. Finally, this is actually the final part. Oh, we gave glory to God. Yeah, strong in faith. Give glory to God. And ta-da, fully persuaded. That's it. Fully persuaded. That's in verse, 20? 21. He was fully persuaded. Say fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded.
What does fully persuaded mean? No room for doubt. Amen? Abraham left no room for doubt. Listen, if you close your eyes and imagine this for a moment, this is a faith that is maturing. As I said, along the way, I'm sure Abraham took two steps forward, one step back. He was staggering at times. But the Bible says in the final analysis of things, he no longer staggered and he was fully persuaded. Amen? Fully means there's no room for unbelief. No room for doubt. That's where Abraham arrived. Now, he didn't arrive there overnight. But listen, this is the standard. Amen? This is the standard. The Word of God is the standard, not your preference. Not what's comfortable to you and I. Amen? So what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to contend earnestly to get to this point in our faith. Amen? It's not just going to drop on you, saints. The reason so many people shy away or back away from the faith movement is this. They get tired in the fight. Or they start watching the wind and the waves of the people around them. Well, so-and-so, they didn't get their healing at church. So-and-so, they didn't get this. So-and-so didn't get that. And they start taking count of other circumstances and they drop back from the fight. Yeah. Folks, we're going to have to contend earnestly for this thing called the faith walk. Are you ready?
Amen.
It's a fight. And Abraham fought. And the scripture comments there in Romans 4. It's a beautiful set of verses. We should chew on this for 2023. We're going to need this somehow for the future. These are the points. This is how you walk in God kind of faith. Hebrews 11:6, the first part of that verse says this. If you'll put that up, please. Without faith, read it with me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what does that tell us? Without Abraham's kind of faith, the Bible definition of faith, it's impossible to please God. So what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to believe. We're going to have to call those things that be not. We're going to have to, against hope, believe in hope. We're going to have to not be weak in faith. We're going to have to not consider our own body, our own circumstances, neither the circumstances of others. We're not going to have to be doing the unbelief shuffle, the staggering knot at the promise of God. And what? We're going to grow strong in faith. We're going to give glory to God in our faith. And we're going to be fully persuaded. Because these are what the Bible defines as God kind of faith that we see in Abraham's life. Without these kind of characteristics, it's impossible. Say impossible.
Impossible.
To please God. Now take heart. I don't want you to look at this and go, well, that's impossible, Pastor. I don't have that kind of faith. Listen, the scripture tells us elsewhere in Hebrews, he's the author and the finisher of this kind of faith. Amen. Aren't you glad? God will school us in faith if we're willing.
Yes.
If you're willing to fight, if you're willing to move forward with him, he will school you in faith as he schooled Abraham. What did he do? He took Abraham outside. He said, look at the stars. What is that? He's schooling him in faith. He's teaching him how to believe. God's so good. He's the author and the perfecter or the finisher of our faith. Amen? Praise God. Take courage in that. Now, Genesis 15. I want you to see that when Abraham started out, Genesis 15, go back to the beginning. I want you to see Abraham and his humanity, his weakness. Real quick here before we wrap it up. I want you to see that he wasn't always the perfect man. Spiritual giants just aren't born. They're grown. Amen. These are people that just didn't quit. They didn't give up. They kept moving ahead. Amen. So these are what we call, we look at spiritual giants and they're, you know, they're shining bright. They're in the limelight. And we go, wow, that's an amazing person. You didn't see the struggles that went on for years behind the scenes. And I didn't either. You and I were not witnesses of the agony, the wrestling, the earnest contending of their faith to get them to that point of being a spiritual giant. But I guarantee you, every spiritual giant who is a giant in the kingdom had to go through that. And Abraham went through it. I want you to see it here in Genesis 15. Look at Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I'm thy shield, thy exceeding great reward." What is Abraham having in this moment? A vision. Say vision.
Vision.
You know, sometimes people say, "Wow, if I could just see Jesus, I'd have perfect faith. My faith wouldn't waver a bit." Is that so? Well, let's read on. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless?" Say, "I go childless." What is Abraham confessing? He's talking about his body and Sarah's body. He's talking about the circumstances. What is he saying? Is he saying the right thing or the wrong thing? Is he a receiver? Is he a believer and a receiver? Or is he a doubter and a do without her? Well, see, the scriptures in Romans, by the time we get to the New Testament, isn't God so gracious when he looks back on a person's life? He doesn't record all their faults,
Amen.
All their weak spots. Now, it's in there in the Old Testament. We see it in their lives. We see the record. But I'm talking about in the New Testament, when God comments on those people, where does he comment? He comments at their level of perfection. We just read it in Romans 4. He staggered not. What's he doing here in Genesis 15? Staggering. I go childless. The steward of my house, this Eleazar of Damascus, is going to inherit all that you've given me. Verse 3, you've given me no children, no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. Can you imagine? You think about when you leave this life, you're going to give all your stuff to somebody who's not even blood. That's what he's saying. What are those words? Unbelief. Doubt. And he's having a what? He's having a vision from God. And in the midst of the vision, does he utter words of faith and great? Yeah. No, he utters words completely of doubt. Why? Because he's human, just like you and I. Verse 4, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. You don't want to argue with the Almighty, right? But he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look toward the heavens, tell the stars if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham had a plan. The plan was that God would cause Eleazar and his children to inherit all that God was promising him. And God said, no, that's not who I'm giving it to. I'm giving it to your child, Abraham. Even though you're speaking words of doubt in my face right now in this beautiful vision I'm giving you, in the midst of that, I'm reminding you, look at the stars. This is how many your descendants will be through your body, Abraham. And two chapters later in chapters 17, look at chapter 17, verse 1 through 6. We see here Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Did you know that between chapter 17 and the last time, what's happened? Abraham has had a child through Hagar, his wife's servant, not through Sarah, but through Hagar. And that boy has grown for the last 13 years. It's been 13 years and Abraham has not heard the voice of God once in 13 years. And now at age 99, God appears to him. It's like he breaks the silence. And he breaks it here in chapter 17. He says, walk before me, be perfect. What is he saying? Believe. What does it mean for us to walk perfect with God? It means to believe. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's what perfection is in God's eyes. It's walking in faith. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, Abraham, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram. What does Abram mean? Exalted father. No, an exalted father could be a father of one, right? God said, no, it's no longer going to be a father of maybe just one or two kids. No, but your name shall be Abraham, for a father of many. Say many.
Many.
Many nations have I made thee. You know, God, when we truly step into faith, God always does more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Amen? Listen, God's going to do some big, big things in the coming months. You better fasten your seatbelt around here. We're looking for, we're targeting 600,000. I'm believing God's going to do way more than that. Because that's just the kind of God we serve. Amen? He's an overwhelming God. And he says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you, Abram, and kings shall come out of you. Now, when you analyze Abram's life, God began speaking with him and dealing with him at age 75. When we read in Genesis 17 here, Abraham is how old? 99. How many years is that? 24 years. For 24 years, Abraham has been sitting on a promise. And nothing has changed. Say nothing. Nothing has changed in the natural. Sarah's not pregnant. She's not asking for ice cream from Sonic. Spaghetti late at night or whatever. She's not got the itch for weird food. Nothing's happening for 24 years. But when we see Genesis 17, the very next thing that happens, God changes Abram's name to Abraham. And in 3 months' time of doing what? Speaking. Calling himself something different than what he was called before. Calling Sarah somebody different than what her name was before. Because God changed her name too, did you know? 3 months, and she conceived. Because God said, this time next year, you'll have a child. In other words, you know how that works, right? 9 months for pregnancy, right? Within a year, he had that promised child. 3 months from the time he began saying something different about himself. Are you catching it? I am hearing some light bulbs go off with a few of you, but not as many as I'd like. We have to do what? Say something. You've got to speak. Abraham had faith for 24 years. He believed in his heart. Because if you look back at the previous chapters, you'll see Abraham did believe the promise. But what's different in chapter 17? God told him to say something different. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling us as a church right now. Pause with me for a moment. There's not a sermon, not an event, not a football game, not a meal that's more important than this holy moment right now, what I'm about to say to you. This is the word of the Lord. Church, say something. Yes. Say something different. If you need some change in your life, you're going to have to do what Abraham did. You're going to have to speak. And what did he do? He spoke from his name being Abram to Abraham. He did that for 3 months and Sarah got pregnant. That should excite some of you. Faith doesn't have to take forever.
That's right.
He spoke the right thing for 3 months and boom, the power of God met. See, our job is to confess or to call, as we read in Romans 4. What does it say? He calls those things that be not as though they were. That's what Abraham did. And so every time Sarah called him for supper, Abraham, she was saying, Father of many, come for dinner. When he would meet a stranger on the way and this man would introduce himself and say, what's your name? Abraham, father of many. Every time he spoke his own name, he was hearing faith. He was saying faith. He was growing faith in his heart. Amen? He was doing away with that unbelief shuffle, staggering. He was no longer whining to God that he had no children, that his servant would inherit everything. He was speaking faith. And God met him. Our part is to call. God's part is to manifest. Amen? Our part is to say something. It's God's part to impact those words of faith with power and change our circumstance. Yes. That's not your part. It's not mind over matter. It's speaking what God says. See, notice God gave Abraham the words to say. What did I say earlier? God will school us in our faith. He's so good like that. He authors it. He'll plant the seed in your heart and he will perfect it if you'll work with him. The Lord dropped a word in my heart a couple Sundays ago. I just woke up, you know, getting ready for church, just getting out of bed like you do. You know, I don't wake up completely showered. My hair is perfect. And I don't wake up looking like Ken. I'm just like you. But the Holy Spirit can speak even when your hair's messed up. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
And he said, cooperate. See, it's what we're talking about. Faith, when we're talking about walking in faith, we're not talking about us producing something. We just cooperate. We cooperate with God. He says this, and we say, yes, I agree. Amen. He calls us healed. We say, I'm healed. He calls us blessed. We say, I'm blessed. Even if nothing's changed. We say what he says. And he perfects our faith. Amen. Romans 10:10. Look at it here on the screen, the last verse. We know this passage from, it's a salvation quote. In order to get saved, you had to do this. You had to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And Romans 10:10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We might say it this way in the context of today's message. With the mouth confession is made unto manifestation. Are you with me? With the heart we believe. Abraham believed for 24 years in his heart but said nothing. God changed his name, and for 3 months he spoke something different. And with the mouth, confession was made unto manifestation.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You see, when it comes to faith, the variable is not God. We're the variable.
Right.
You understand that?
That's right.
God always does his part. Yeah, some people, kind of in a religious way, they'll dog you for, you know, well, God's not, he's not a vending machine. You don't just pull a lever. No, that's right. He's not a vending machine. However, he has set laws in place and said, whosoever will. Right? John 3:16, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, right? It's an open invitation for anybody who will do what? Believe. And the laws of faith work that way. If you'll work them. Work them like Abraham. Believe. Don't consider your own body. Don't consider the circumstances. Don't consider other people's experience. And put it elevated above the Word of God. Don't stagger at the promise of God. Doing the unbelief shuffle. Don't be weak in faith. Grow strong in faith. Be fully persuaded. You know, there's a... I hesitate to use this word, but I know we relate to it. There's a magical moment, if you will. A divine moment, okay?
Yeah.
When our faith rises to the level it needs to be at, it's called fully persuaded.
That's right.
And boom, when you get to that point, I'm telling you, the power of God will meet you in that point of need.
Amen.
Remember, we're the variable.
Mm-hmm.
We're the shift in the equation. If we don't do our part, the power misses us. If we do our part, God will always do his part. Amen? Stand together with me. What is God calling us to do? Speak. Say something. Mustard seed faith. Thank you, Marianne, for the mustard seeds. Yeah, mustard seed faith. It doesn't take a whole lot. But faith must be released through our words. Now, some of you, after today's message, this is a bit of a bit of a heavy, because you realize, wow, I got a mountain ahead of me. I got something I got to move in my life, and now I see how it works. So what? The responsibility is on your shoulders. Yes, it is. But remember, God will work with you as he worked with Abraham. He will school you in your faith. And in those moments when you feel weak, he'll what? He'll appear to you. He appears through his word. He speaks through the Holy Ghost in us. He speaks through his word in us. And he will grow your faith up. He will perfect that faith in you that feels weak in that moment. But folks, I want to remind you again, that Jude, you know, he didn't pull any punches. You know who Jude was in real life? He was the earthly brother of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? You know, James is a tough book to read. If you've ever read through James and really looked at what he's saying, he pulls no punches. Why? Because he grew up with Jesus. He grew up with the truth made flesh. And Jude, in that one verse, by telling us to earnestly contend, what is he saying? It's going to be a fight. Reality check. Like those Vietnam vets, Vietnam prisoners, you're not going to get out by Christmas. But the ones who stood it out, the ones who stuck it out and said, we're going to get out eventually, but we've got to be realistic. Listen, this is going to be a fight.
Amen. Yeah.
But if you'll say the right thing, if you'll school your faith and change your words to echo his words, you and I will see in short order great change in our life. Amen?
Amen.
And it's worth the fight.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your promises. And I just pray today, Lord, for wherever people are at, wherever the enemy has halted us in our faith, Lord, that you would stand in now and appear, symbolically speaking. Jesus, you would come and you would speak to us as you did Abraham. You would point us to whatever we need to see to remind us of the greatness of your promise and that our faith would not fail.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that you're so good. You said you prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail, even though he had floundered and he had denied you three times. Thank you, Lord. And no matter where we've been, no matter what doubt we've walked in, no matter how we've shuffled in unbelief or staggered, it's all the past. And you're perfecting us now, Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just reach out and receive it right now, Lord, saints. Right now in the Lord's presence, there's a grace for you today. Some of you are in the fight. You've been ready to give up. You just thought, it's just not worth it. It's not working. Nothing's working. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's breathing new life in you today. We sang about it earlier. We sang about death is not the end. We sang about God. I don't remember the exact words, but it was about quickening. Amen. The miracle is on its way.
That's right.
Don't give up.
That's right.
Don't give in. Don't allow your faith to flounder. Jesus has power for you and your circumstance, and he's releasing it today if you'll believe and if you'll agree in faith in his word.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We declare power over 2023. We declare prosperity over 2023. We declare great breakthrough in our personal lives in this year, Lord. No matter where this moment finds us, no matter how stale we feel, how subdued we feel by circumstances, Lord, right now your power we release by faith in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And we declare the end of this year will finish differently than it started.
Yes.
And our circumstances will change. They will turn around for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Well, there may be somebody here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You could be sitting in church for months and months and years. I don't assume that just because you come to church that you're born again. So with heads bowed for just another moment, if you're hearing you say, Pastor Scott, I need to be born again today. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to be his child. I want him to forgive me of my sins. If that's you, just raise your hand real high and we're going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to pray it all together as a congregation in just a moment. Anybody here at all, you say, I want to be saved today. I want to give my life to Jesus today. Or I've been away from the Lord and I'm coming back today. I'm running back. This is my day. I'm coming back to the house of God and I want to give my life afresh to Jesus. Anybody at all, just raise your hand real high and we're going to pray with you in just a moment. Okay. Well, let's all pray this prayer together. Father, thank you for sending Jesus
to
die in my place. I believe he is your son. That he died, was buried, and rose again on the third day to attest to my justification, to the fact that you've forgiven me all sin. Thank you for saving me, Father.
Thank you for making me your child
and enabling me to enjoy heaven for eternity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Praise
God. Well, there's great things on the horizon. Be praying this week. Ask the Lord what he wants you to do in faith toward the building. And we know there's going to be an exciting report again next week. We hope to see you soon. Bless you.